that they did indeed accomplish the resurrection from the dead of this man, even though they hadn't.
I think Brother Russell suggested somewhat in the line of materialization, it is possible that they would be able to impersonate a man of that kind. But I think the thought here is that in no way would they be able to take this original character, Einstein in this case, to raise him back to life again, same personality, same person. But it's very possible that whatever means they could use other than that is possible. Materialize. They can materialize themselves, but the actual being that died, I think this would be denied any of the evil angel to Satan himself to bring this person back to life again. Up there. All right.
Brother Jesuit, I don't know the exact copyright date on that book you quoted, but Eric von Daniken had come out in the early 60s, predating the first moon flight by about 3 years, with his book Chariots of the Gods. And he came out with the exact same theory that it was the first inhabitants of this world were, outer extraterrestrial creatures. Now, the scriptural evidence from Peter is fine, but is there, it's just out of my curiosity, is there any scriptural evidence that would deal with people actually before the space age? I mean, can you see any significance there? Because he came out before the space age as we knew it came into existence.
I think there are some books, The Chariot of the Gods, I think, was one of these books where they use the scriptures, I think, passages in Ezekiel and others, where they try to establish the fact that the space age existed in some form or another back way back there, and creatures did come from other places upon this planet. But that's as far as I could go. Up on the last row.
Just one comment on Brother David's question. Sister Lori and I had a witnessing experience with a group of Seventh-day Adventists who reported of a tribe in Africa that had been receiving missionary work through the Seventh-day Adventists, and they had reports of people who were dead being animated, but the reports also reported that these individuals were still decomposing at the time. So I imagine it's possible to have bodies animated and essentially used as a marionette while they are still dead. That's the report that I had heard. I don't know if there's been any substantiation of it or any other further reports of similar activities. Then I also had a question about, due to the fact that Satan was able to duplicate the miracles of the frogs and of the snakes, I was wondering if you felt that Satan had the ability to create animal life on a lower scale than human nature, and if so, do you feel, as some have theorized, that he might be responsible for perhaps some of the viruses or even insect life that is detrimental to mankind, and as far as we can tell now, would not have any place in the kingdom?
In the case of the plagues back there, I think we have to recognize the fact that God limited their power in only, that is Satan's power, in three of these miracles. Apparently, he stopped Satan short of that. As far as the insect life and some of the problems that humanity has with this environment, it is possible that these angels may be able to use the forces of this earth to create the lower forms, such as insects that might cause problem. I think we read about this fruit fly in California that's causing so much damage. Just how much he has as an influence in that direction, I don't know. But these are possibilities. I don't have any scriptures that would support that directly. Bob Alexander.
Brother Edmund, do you have any specific suggestions for the new creature on how we may be alert to the evil that these evil angels and Satan are perpetrating, and how we may avoid them?
Well, one way to avoid it is don't buy this book. I think that as a result of paperbacks, I think this has been one of the curses that has fallen on this education field. I mean, there's so many of these come out. It's so easy to publish a book, so to speak, and Satan is not asleep, and he recognizes the value, and as you go into different stores, paperbacks are there by the millions on every conceivable subject, and generally it's on subjects that doesn't give man much to read about. And I think, Bob, in answer to your question, the scriptures give us many examples of what had taken place when there was any association with the evil spirits. I think you remember, was it the Witch of Endor that was consulted by the king? The results, there's enough, I think, in the scriptures to show that there is a definite influence that if it is tampered away in any way, trouble will result. I think Brother Russell was very wise when he issued the morning resolve of the vow. That line, you remember, I'll have nothing to do with spiritism or occultism. Now, just the other day, a sister was talking to me, and she was intrigued by a TV performance that had to do with, I think it's The Exorcist that is playing. I think there's a Catholic priest involved that actually is engaged in some way driving out the evil spirits of this small girl. And I was surprised that this sister was so intrigued. And she told me personally that, well, she wanted to see just what this is like. Now, these are little early beginnings, this curiosity that may take hold of us. I think your television screen at home is a real liability, because it's capable not only of producing wonderful things, bringing to your attention worldwide events that happen at the minute right into your living room, but again, Satan is not asleep. And he will use that magic box just as effectively. And there's so many things appearing on TV, and we become rather vulnerable in that area. Here you sit and look at the news, and I'm almost frightened now to turn the news on, because interspace in between the news, they put other things that are just almost impossible to watch. Amen. Who said amen? You want to elaborate on that, Bob? Would you want to say something, Bob?
Brother Edmund, I agree with you, but unfortunately, when one agrees in a situation like this, it becomes embarrassing, because it's not really a popular opinion. And don't want to point fingers at others, but I feel it is dangerous for us to have too much contact with the media in all forms.
That's newspapers, magazines, TV, etc. All right, Brother Art, Jay. Oh, all right. Alan?
Yes, Brother Edmund. Do you have an opinion or a thought on the on acupuncture? As you know, that's been an ancient Chinese method of healing. It has come to its front in recent decade, and especially recently they have even developed a further refinement, if you will, using electrical impulses rather than needles. Now, this is seems to be documented in the healing arts, what have you researched on that? Could we have your opinion on that?
I think one of the areas that we have to always be suspicious of, anything that originates from the heathen lands, I think I would hold under suspicion, generally speaking. This is an area, I think, that Satan has very effectively used. Heathenism, Chinese, Japanese, India, much of that is to be used with care. Now, I don't say that the Chinese do have something in acupuncture. The human body is so constructed it will respond to certain treatment. We have in this country the chiropractors, naturopaths, and studying the human form and knowing how it will respond to certain things. There is a nervous system within our body that if it is correctly administered to, you will get a result. But I think you could go just a little overboard and go a little beyond it. And I think, as always, Satan is always there on first notice. Anything in the healing arts, he's there. Now, it is very possible that acupuncture has been successful, and to my knowledge, I don't know if there's anything connected as far as the fallen angels are concerned. But again, I'm just saying that anything originating from the heathen lands is under suspicion with me, because Satan has not revealed the true God to that land, and many of their things, their beliefs, their gods, and their different practices are not compatible with Christianity. So that's all I have on that, Alan, unless you want to add something. Art J. had their hand up.
Brother Edmund, would you say that there are, at the present time, two rulers, one particularly that you outlined earlier as the prince of the power of the air, or Satan, and we see his kingdom tottering, and also that our Lord is the other ruler? Would you say that there's two rulers at the present time?
I think that Satan has lost his control over his empire as far as his leadership over all the angels that he's had in the past. I strongly believe that as a head of this spiritual empire that he governed, that these evil angels more or less were obligated and they were under his control. I think today Satan has lost that control. And as a result, all of these demons, these evil spirits, are going in all different directions without paying attention to him at all. Now, this does not mean that he's not here. He is here. But I think he's lost control over the spiritual empire that he so effectively used or ruled in times past. And so these evil angels now are on their own, as it were, going in all directions. And I think this accounts for some of the things that are happening today. There seems to have been an organization, as far as Satan was concerned, for decades. All of a sudden, as the time is coming closer, this is going rampant. And people are doing things, saying things that have never taken place before. Human beings are not capable of doing the things they're doing today unless they would be possessed by these demons. And so if you say two rulers, I think from that aspect he's lost his rulership as far as having control over these evil spirits. But he is still in existence, and I think there are some that are still doing him, that is, listening to his dictates, but I think these are very few. I think his whole empire is just completely gone already. Brother, way up on the top.
Brother Jesuit, I agree in general with your remarks, particularly that I believe there's only one ruler at a time, and I believe our Lord is that ruler since 1874, and I'm wondering how you treat the 20th chapter of Genesis, verses 1, 2, and 3, where it refers to the binding of Satan for 1,000 years If he isn't bound yet, is 1,000 years going to extend beyond the millennium, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, I think it's Revelation, not Genesis. You mean Revelation, brother? You said Genesis. Well, I think Brother Russell had the correct thought, and I concur with his thinking, and that is the binding of Satan would be gradual. I don't think the Lord works in a fashion where there's a clear-cut ending of one thing and a beginning of another. The whole divine plan is based on this concept of overlapping. One thing is phasing out, another thing is beginning before it phases out. Now, I think the Revelator suggests the thought, and I think this supports the fact that Satan is being bound in a gradual way, a chain. Now, that chain, if you will use that illustration, you take a chain and you begin winding it around, as it were, and you wind it around, and each time it becomes tighter and tighter until he's immobilized. So, it's not an instantaneous binding, it is a gradual form of binding, and I think the thought is that within that 1,000 years, Satan will be bound completely. So I would say that this scripture would include the early beginnings, which are a gradual binding, and eventually that will quickly end up in a complete binding, and when that will take place, I don't know. But it's a gradual binding of Satan at the present, because the effects are there. We can still see that he's loose. All right, brother over here.
Do you feel that the Shroud of Turin is a deception from Satan? If so, what does he hope to accomplish by it?
I didn't get the first part, brother.
Do you feel that the Shroud of Turin is a deception from Satan? And if
the shrouded what?
The Shroud of Turin. It's a shroud that has the imprint of Jesus' body on it.
Okay. And your question is whether I think it's what?
A deception from Satan. And if it is, what does he hope to accomplish by it?
I think Satan will use any means whatever to deceive and to... And I would say in this case, it would be. There are many people that are deceived by this. They actually believe that this was something that the Lord used. What does he intend to accomplish by it? Perhaps he wants to misrepresent to a point where the truth is not known. Here he takes this piece of cloth. And if he can get people to believe that this is it, and what it's associated with, it's a lie to begin with. It's not true. And anything of that nature, if you can get the attention of people away from the real truth and use these deceptions, he's going to use it. All right, over here.
As we've seen throughout the Bible, the great majority of the... miracles that are performed are in accordance with the nature, natural laws. But I was just wondering, when Joshua had the sun stand still, that would have such an impact on the rest of the universe or the solar system. For instance, if he was to stop the Earth from rotating, or say stop the sun, or wait. Have the sun follow the Earth as it went around, that would throw all the other planets off their gravity, their gravitational circles, and they would just throw them all off. And if the Earth was to stand still, that would destroy the gravitational field for the Earth, and everything would be destroyed pretty much, or go floating away. And I was just wondering, under what category of laws do you think that such a miracle would fall under? Certainly not natural.
Do we have a scientist in the house? All right, up top.
I don't claim to be a scientist. I'm an engineer by tradition, profession.
All right.
But the gravitational field would not be lost because the Earth still has mass and the Sun still has mass. Gravity is tied down, ties you down because of the mass relationship, not because something is spinning. If anything, the spin of the Earth causes us to be lighter. So that would not cause a problem. I don't know what type of catastrophic effects would occur if the Earth's spin were stopped or turned backwards, as in the case of, I believe it was Zedekiah, was it, who wished it to be have the sign for 10 more years of life. The sun's sign actually turned backwards 10 minutes. Anyway, 10 degrees, I mean. The people would not go flying off. That's one thing for sure.
I think Brother Russell's thought on the question is that this was an illusion, and I think in some respects these men of the world certainly would have grounds to feel that a miracle of that kind couldn't happen because of the relationship of the sun to the earth and so on. But I don't think it was a direct violation. The suggestion is that it was an illusion of some kind. The Lord had committed something there that didn't interfere with any of the nature's laws at all to cause confusion in the universe. Brother Schrock?
There's an article in the reprints written by someone else, Brother Russell printed, that explained the matter very beautifully, very reasonably, that the translation is faulty and that it was really a continuation of darkness rather than the sun standing still. The sun remained hidden because it's plainly shown that there was a tremendous hailstorm which would require a heavy cloud cover, and that was a great obstacle to the enemy. It destroyed many of the enemy, and that he prayed for that to continue, that darkness to continue, until the enemy was destroyed. That's very plainly shown in article and reprints. And it's very reasonable. On the other hand, the matter of the day being lengthened literally would mean the Earth rotation had to stop, which would be impossible. The bulk of the Earth couldn't be stopped. It would just destroy everything. But this is very reasonable. So,
Brother Evans here had his hand up for quite a while.
I would like to follow up on an answer you gave to an earlier question. That concerns the bugs and the insects. In light of the answer that you gave, I would like to ask you how you harmonize that with Colossians 1:16, talking about our Lord Jesus. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
I think one answer would be when creation occurred, I think we have to think in terms of perfection. Adam and Eve were created perfect. The Garden of Eden was perfect. But I think as sin was allowed to come in, I think it destroyed that perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. The earth produced things that it was produced because of the environment. Satan himself, who was created, was a wonderful, perfect being, and he fell, developed characteristics that he didn't have before because he lacked perfection. And I think there's a suggestion, I'm not sure, but in the Towers, Brother Russell has something to do with making the thought of these insects because of the environment, because of some of the conditions that exist, that you could have lower forms of life that come forth because of this. And when the, I think he said something about the electrical ring that'll drop, that'll destroy all these insects and things that cause man so much trouble. Imperfection has a lot to do, I think, with the problems that man has today. Certainly these insects that are causing so much trouble today won't exist in the millennium. all the various weeds that we have to use so much of that insecticide to control. You won't need that. The earth is going to yield or increase. So I think in the creation of Logos, I think this is in a form of perfection. But as that was lost, I think that degenerated. And we don't, we can't think of it in the same term. All right, Sister Joy.
What would you suggest if in witnessing we came across someone involved in the occult? What do you think would be the proper thing to do?
Involved in what?
In the occult.
In the occult.
If it was, you know, even a witch or, you know, anybody like that.
Has anyone had an experience of that kind? Of being in the witness work and having an experience with someone that might be... You see a hand? All right, Brother Allen, on this side.
Yes, Sister Evelyn and I had an experience. Really, this, and it, it came through Chicago in a way because Chicago had received, Chicago Bible students had received an order for a quantity of first volumes. And we were asked, this address was in Williamsville, and we were asked if that was nearby and could we make this delivery. We said yes, we knew where it was, and we did. We went to, we delivered these to this woman, and we found out that she was involved in the charismatic movement. The requested the volumes because they had a chart in them, the chart and that showed, what was it, Evelyn? Sanctification and justification. That showed it very beautifully. And then she went on to relate her experiences in her ministry in India, where she was protected, where she could drink from the common cups of the diseased in India. She had witnessed the formation of a socket of a blind boy who had been blind from death, from birth. The whole eye, she said, between the Catholic priest and another Protestant priest, that they prayed over this boy, and this eye formed right in the socket. And she claimed she witnessed these things, and she claimed that nuns had come to their home in Williamsville because they were drawn there by the Holy Spirit. And it we could not witness to her. We could not use the scriptures. It, she just seemed to ignore the whole thing. It was a very frightening experience, really. And we took heart that to avoid anything akin to spiritism and occultism, and as soon as we could excuse ourselves, we left. That was our experience because it just was very nerve-wracking to witness to someone like that, and we left with that. But it was a very quite an unusual experience.
Would you recommend, then, Alan, that in cases of that kind, that we should not try to discuss the scriptures or anything, but leave as quickly as we can?
I believe that would be the course to take, and that's what we did.
Because there's no response, is there? There is no common ground. You couldn't use the Bible as such as a
No common ground at all. The scriptures we used were just ignored, wasn't it? Yes. Just no basis for witness or communication. They were just there. She just became, her eyes lit up, and she just was unapproachable.
Well, I think this would be following the vow. It would have nothing to do with spiritism or occultism, and I think this would be a demonstration. There it is right before your very eyes, and as long as there is no evidence that she would be willing to listen to the biblical explanation, I think the best advice would be to leave.
Yes. We had a similar experience, too, in doing a little follow-up work with a group called Metaphysic... Well, they were involved in metaphysics, and their entire aim seemed to be to discredit the Bible. And when they had received the first volume, but apparently it was just something to acquaint them with various religions. So we spent a while, and it was quite apparent we weren't getting anywhere. And again, this was not so much with occultism, but it was, although it was a deception of Satan, they were truly deceived, and they did everything to discredit the common viewpoint or the truth of the matter. The ransom, completely denying the ransom, couldn't talk to them at all about that. So again, we excused ourselves as politely and that we could, so we would not discredit the word, and left. There are two instances. The one was quite dramatic, that I would, again, if we had an experience like that, we would leave much sooner than we did before.
I think that's good advice, Joy.
I'm more interested in what if the situation was there was a hearing ear, and you knew the person was, you know, a witch or involved directly in spiritism, then what would be the proper thing to do?
I didn't get the first part, Joy.
If there was a hearing ear.
Oh, okay. Well, I think this would change the situation somewhat. If there was any response whatever on this part of the person of listening to what the scriptures offer and our understanding, I think we would at least see how far we could go. But in Alan's case here, Brother Alan's case, there was no response whatever. I think in his case, it was right for him to leave. But if there's any indication whatever where this person might respond and at least give us a listening ear, I think we'd stay, and we'd have to kind of use our judgment. But I think Brother Russell's advice holds very true. Have nothing to do with spirits and occultism. If we see anything of an approach on our mind or in any form, this is something we have to avoid. If there's a listening ear, I think we should always respond. That is always our obligation, to listen out and see what we can do to help the person gain the true viewpoint. Well, I think that's all we have time for, but I did discover one thing. It's easier to ask a question than to answer them up here.
We thank you, Brother Edmund, and we thank you for helping to keep us alert, to be advised of all of the adversaries' wiles, and especially in this day and age of miracles. We would invite all the brethren again to the dining room after this service for refreshments that have been provided for, and you're all invited and are welcome. We'll close Brother Edmund's with Brother Edmund's choice of number 314. 314. We'll rise on the last verse, and we'll have Brother Edmund dismiss us with prayer and ask a blessing on the temple provisions that are to follow.
Our Father, which art in heaven, thou in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning, thou art from everlasting to everlasting, we bring to thee our praise, our adoration. We approach thee in that wonderful name of Jesus, our Redeemer, thy Son. We're thankful for all that thou hast done for us, the privileges that thou hast extended to us. And especially, Father, we thank thee for this wonderful privilege that we're able to call thee Father and be associated with thy Son, especially the prospect of bringing back this poor, sin-sick world back to life again. Help us to be faithful so we can execute that miracle of miracles of awakening those that are lying in the dust of the earth, that we may be associated with thy Son in performing this life-giving act for the whole world. Now, Father, as we separate from this place, help us to retain some of the lessons, the things we've learned this day. Bless the refreshments, the fellowship that is to follow. If it be thy will, may we return for another day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Opens up all
Come and answer why the sun stood still.
What?